Road.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, here to help you feel your absolute best. With over 17 years of beauty innovation excellence, see fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud, sounds better with us.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Fess Up, with special thanks to our gorgeous sponsors, the Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
So, Nikki, this is the last of our episodes for this season. It's been a really good season so far, and we've learned loads. And if you like the kind of conversations that we have here on Fess Up, please come to our live event, Future Beauty and Health, which is on in 1st and 2nd of March in the RDS. We have an epic lineup, as always, but I think this year is getting even, every year it gets better and bigger.
Literally levels up. Like, we've four stages.
Yes.
We've nearly 100 experts.
Yes.
And they're literally talking about everything from Botox to boobs, from, you know, kidney health to
bone health,
yeah,
menopause to maternity. Yeah. I mean, anything to do with being a female and getting old.
Yeah.
Or
libido to, like, I mean,
acne, you name it.
I know, we have veins, veneers, the whole gambit.
Experts on every single topic going.
Under the umbrella of, like, I think, women's health, really.
Women's health, which spans an awful lot of things. And we also have lots of fun stuff at the event as well. We have the game show, we have our bar, we have goodie bag.
Supermarket sweep for goodies.
Supermarket sweep. I mean, we've loads of fun
science
stuff.
Lab, if you want to come and learn about, you know, how ingredients work and things like that. So it's an amazing event. And if you are interested, it'll be on the 1st and 2nd of March in the RDS. And we would love you guys to come along. And there's going to be a special offer. We're going to give all of our Fess Up listeners 20% off tickets.
Yes, use the code Fess Up on our website
and you'll get 20% off tickets. Now, if that isn't enough for you,
woohoo!
And there is a man in your life, yes, who is not so much interested in the Botox and boobs. Well, I mean,
probably
are, to be fair. but if they are interested in the biohacking under the men's umbrella.
Yes.
I mean, we have a men's health event that we are running this year, the same weekend, in an adjoining hall. So himself can come along.
And it's called Future Men's Health.
Future Men's Health. And we have an amazing lineup of
all sorts of experts here, from Premier League footballers through to cardiologists, through to thyroid specialists, prostate specialists, hair specialists.
Dick doctors in town, I've just been told. I'm the best dick doctor in town.
Yeah. But it's to do, and also obviously the fitness, the nutrition, everything, you know, ice baths,
testosterone, steroids,
like the whole, anything to do, again, it's the flip side for men, however, their interest.
Wim Hof.
Yes.
Yeah,
but the whole idea being, I mean, with all our events, is like we try to bring the best medical and scientific minds in the industry to under one roof for one weekend, and to talk about it like in an editorial way, not in some ridiculous sales pitch when people are just getting up and saying, hey, my product's amazing, or hey, I found the best solution for whatever it is, chapped toes. So, and to obviously open up these conversations and to give the public access to these people who are normally, you know, hidden away in labs or up in their ivory towers, and just to kind of have a great weekend at the same time.
Yeah, I'm very excited actually about the men's health event. I actually think I'm more excited about the men's health event.
I think you are. You're really into all that hydrox stuff,
that, though. Yeah, like I'm like I want the infrared saunas, and I want the.
You do want an infrared sauna.
I actually do want an infrared sauna. If anybody wants to give me a free infrared sauna, I will totally happily do some kind of contra deal for one. But I'm into all that, and I love the whole Wim Hof stuff, and I love the sea swimming, and I love the VO2 max testing, and I love the kind of athletic side.
Maybe
of
you're a man.
Well, I didn't want to say anything.
but
and if neither of those events are for you, we have a third event.
We do have a third event.
Not if that wasn't enough, ladies and gentlemen. We have another event, which for anybody who's on the fertility journey, we've basically taken, in essence, what we do, well, what I think we do well, is, which is take the best in the industry. So for fertility, I mean, there's so many topics that need to be covered. And what we try to do is to do it in a very sensitive and, I suppose, professional way, so that, like, we kind of protect people who are on a vulnerable fertility journey. Because I think part of the issue with like the fertility kind of marketing. Is that like, you know, your marketing people are really vulnerable who'd like literally buy anything for a baby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we've had to try and demystify a lot of the bullshit, basically. And
I suppose the other thing, what people said to us about last year's event, which is Future Fertility, it's called, was they said it was really nice that you would have medical experts and the other side of the fertility coin, yeah, holistic experts. You also have the support groups.
Yeah.
You have the counsellors, you have the legal side of things, you have the surrogacy side of things,
yeah,
all in one place. And we have some clinics coming in from abroad as well. Yeah. So like there's a, like it's a place to go. And we also have real life couples and individuals and telling their stories about, you know, the journeys, yeah, they went on. Like last year, the stories were mind-blowing. I mean, yeah, we'd
Ellen and the triplets.
The lady Louise who'd had 18 miscarriages.
Oh my god!
Then the guy.
And we had our first baby.
And we had a baby.
Somebody contacted us
saying they've had a baby since the show.
Yeah.
Because they met a really good expert at the show, it's all worked out well. And then we had the triple XY guy. He was pretty fly for triple XY. So there's loads of really interesting stories. So, moral of the story, mark your diaries now, 1st and 2nd of March in the RDS with Future Beauty, Future Fertility and Future Men's Health, all running simultaneously, 3 different halls, 3 different events, but you can have access within. So there is actually something for everybody. And you can bring your kids to them as well. We have a kids section.
And if you're listening to this and you're like, I'd like to go to that, I would like X, Y and Z there, like hit us up at DM.
Yeah.
We are here to...
Please.
Like serve you, basically. Yeah. We're here to educate and inform.
Or if you think there's someone who'd be a great speaker, let us know. We have the gamut of speakers from, you know,
yeah,
like holistic right through to the hardcore surgical side of things. And our guest for today is Laura Birmingham, who I don't know if anybody doesn't know Laura in this country. Laura has been a model for almost 40 years, which I can't believe. When you look at her, you think, as I said, like she must be modelling since she literally popped out of the womb.
Stalwart in the beauty industry. She's
the beauty editor for the Daily Mail, for Evoke and for One Fab Day. She was on Ireland AM for donkey's years. She was officially Ireland's top first ever supermodel. Like she did all the runways all around the world internationally. She was and still is an absolute cracker of a looking woman. She's magnificent looking, but she's also a great character. She's a really soft, gentle soul. Her biggest claim to fame, though, what shot her to superstardom was when she starred in the Boyzone video. Do you remember, I don't know what the song was, but they were in a schoolhouse and they were all dressed like Peaky Blinders. And Stephen Gately fell in love with
love
his teacher.
Love me for a reason. Let
love
the reason
me
be good.
For a reason. That's it. Laura was the teacher. She was the sexy teacher. And Stephen Gately fell in love with her. Yeah. And that was her breakthrough moment.
Wow.
And she's been a kind of stalwart of the beauty industry as well for many years. I've done so many fun press trips with Laura over the years. She always looks great, in fairness. But she, no nonsense. She doesn't buy into stuff.
Yeah.
She is very like classic. And more to the point, she's just had a blepharoplasty, which is an upper eyelid eye lift. This is why she's coming on today to tell us all about it, because
everyone's mad for it, basically.
Well, I'm mad for it. I can't wait. I'm like next in line.
I haven't seen her since she's had it done.
Oh, God, she looks brilliant. So good. Mm-hmm. And she's doing the teeth now. I don't know why, but she's on a mission, obviously, at the moment to reinvigorate her beauty. Not that it ever really waned. She's had thyroid issues, all sorts of things. She's had quite an interesting journey over the last few years. So I know people will be like, oh, she looks gorgeous anyway. Mm. But like everyone, you know, she has her crosses to bear. So Laura is going to be telling us all about her journey after this.
Oh,
this week in our rate ball.
My last rate ball of the season.
Are you delighted?
No, I'm learning so much, maybe too much, if there's such a thing. At-home laser masks.
Oh, yes. I get asked this a lot. Hmm. So like people are talking about the LED masks, the at-home. They're not necessarily all masks, the at-home laser devices and so forth. So, I mean, we have to start off by saying clinical versus at-home. Okay, a clinical machine. If you go into a clinic and get LED or IPL, the majority of good clinics, IPL, so forth. First of all, those machines are really expensive.
Yeah, like 80 grand.
Starting point.
Yeah.
80 grand up to a quarter of a million for the clinics.
The thing that you're spending 1,000 quid on is not going to have the same technology as the 80 grand
machine. Not that it actually doesn't have the same technology. It just does not have the same power or wavelength that a clinical device will have.
And normally for a reason, so that you don't burn yourself or do yourself damage.
Exactly.
But it has a watered down version of the same
Yeah, but they say the clinical treatments can be up to 50 to 100 times more strong than anything you can do at home. Okay. So personally, I would always say, because A, I'm not a compliant person. I do not do as I'm told. I do not follow the instructions.
Every morning I come into the office, you are sitting there
with my current body.
Current body, face and neck on you.
I have been compliant to that because it's easy actually. I'm sitting on my laptop. I can't open my laptop without putting it on. So I'm getting compliant with that. But generally, so if you're I would always say, like, depending on obviously budgets and so forth, there's a lot of things. But some of the at-home devices are really expensive, like up to $2,000 as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do think bang for buck, the clinical versions are great. However, a lot of people,
if you will use them,
going to a clinic to get a laser treatment is going to be better, because you're going to get a better outcome longer term. It's a million times stronger. It's done under professional supervision.
But if you just want something to kind of keep you tipping over,
this is it. But I know lots of people don't have time to go to clinics.
Yeah.
They don't like clinics.
Yeah.
They can't afford it. They can't make the journey or whatever, or they're traveling a lot, do you know what I mean? Or whatever it is, you're stuck at home with the baby. There's a load of reasons why you can't get to a clinic. And this is the thing with laser, it's cumulative, no matter what device or thing.
Nothing's really a one-tick problem.
You need to be doing it constantly, or you need to be signing up to a course of 6 or 7 to get results. So there's no point doing one of any of them. You have to kind of commit. So if you can't commit to a course in a clinic, the at-home devices are a good option, but we are in a much weaker zone of effectively of so we have a couple of different ones that are on the market. So the Dennis Gross mask was probably the first one that came out a couple of years ago, and that's the kind of Phantom of the Opera style face mask that was first to market really as an at-home LED device.
Yeah, they're quite good, and there is scientific evidence to support that they promote collagen.
Yeah, so obviously Dennis was first, and that was about $700-800 first, and it was in and around the same price. That has LED lights in it. It has different, so LED has different spectrums. We've got like red is generally for collagen, green is generally for calming, and then you have purple for plumpness and so forth. So you have 9 different colours. Again, quite low. We're quite low on the wavelength spectrum though with the at-home mask. So they are good for calming inflammation. I find all of the problems they can solve, inflammation is probably their number one.
Yeah, I'd
like
agree
acne
that.
Or if your skin is really red, they're very good at
Or if you suffer from a bit of psoriasis or a bit of eczema.
Yes, really good. So like, remember we would have gone on sunbeds back in the day.
Yeah.
For your psoriasis. This is like...
Well, you got the red light, but actually you got the UV as well.
You were getting the UV as well.
So it's basically red light without the UV.
Exactly.
However, I mean, there's plenty of them that are just, I mean, crappy LED lights.
Yeah, they're fake ones from freaking, not fake, but they're crap, they're just junk from
just
Korea.
Lights, they're just sparkly lights. You might as well put your Christmas tree lights on your face. sit yourself there in front of your Christmas tree and you'd have spent the same amount of money. So, I mean, the key is don't go for the ones that don't have any actual science behind them, otherwise you were wasting your money.
Yeah, but saying that, like, you really would need to be a NASA engineer to understand the science behind most of them. I would say the ones that are kind of generally tick a lot of boxes, the Current Body is a great one, and they have a new one out called Series 2, Current Body Series 2, and it goes under your chin as well, which is great. They also have a neck piece as well. There's the Lighthouse one. There's the Omnilux one.
The Omnilux one is good as well. Yeah. And actually,
But Dermalux, which was the clinical version, do an at-home one now as well. Like the Dermalux Flex.
I love Dermalux.
I think I would almost save up for that.
£1,000, yeah.
It is about £1,000. And then if you want to go super high-end, you have the Lima. Okay, but that Lima is different because it's not LED. Lima is also €2,000.
And I'm sure also the thing with Lima is, which... I like the Lima, however, like you, I'm far too lazy to actually sit and do the motions. As I find, at least with the mask, I can stick the mask on and then I can get on with something.
So the ones you can pop on your face, the ones that look like you're in the kind of weird Phantom of the Opera, they're grand because you literally can pop them on, buzz around, do your bits and pieces.
Roll the laundry, do whatever. Yeah.
Sit there, watch TV or whatever. Like, it distorts your eyes for a minute, but you get used to it pretty quickly. And it's literally 10 minutes, you don't have to do anything. The Lima laser, which is €2,000, and that doesn't use LED, it uses a low-level light. And it's like, it's cold laser. It's not warm either. It does use medical grade laser devices, and there's a lot of everyone. There's so much argument about the Lyme laser. It's hilarious. Like, there's a real like, this is crap. This is brilliant. You know, they hate this. So two lasers.
What's your verdict on it?
Do you know what I think it's very good for? Scars. Right. I think, and if you have a scar at home that needs treating, you can't go to a clinic every day for a scar. I mean, you could, but who has the time? Whereas if you have a scar and you want to treat it, I think the Lyme laser is worth. Anyone who gets plastic surgery should, if they have any money left over, it would definitely be worth the investment. It's
like one of those Dermalux Flexes, I think, would be better investment.
Yeah, but Dermalux is LED, whereas this is laser. It's totally different. And it does really help with scarring and scar healing.
Skin rejuvenation.
Skin rejuvenation and tissue rejuvenation.
So what's your take home in one sentence? Should you invest in at-home lasers or not?
If you can't get to a clinic, yes. You?
If you are compliant,
what?
Yes.
Yes, what?
If you're a compliant person,
yes,
and you want to, and you're like, so, do you know what it's like? Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you know the old ab rollers that everyone bought?
Yeah.
Remember everyone bought ab rollers?
Yeah.
And they were like, and the ads would be like QVC ads, like, if you buy an ab roller, you too can have a six pack at home in just 15 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And like, you inevitably bought an ab roller, and then it's out there gathering clothes.
Yes.
It became your new clothes horse in your bedroom. Yeah. But if you actually used the ab roller and you did your 15 minutes a day, you sure enough would, you know, have a good six pack.
So if you are a good,
diligent, compliant person, yes, they are great.
Yeah.
If you are not a compliant person, don't waste your money. Go to clinic three times instead.
Yeah.
Laura, thank you so much for coming in to the Fess-Up hot seat. Very, very excited to hear about your recent endeavours. The beauty. You've been involved in beauty for a long time.
A long time, yeah. I'm delighted to be here. I was waiting, and hopefully I was going to be invited in. 20 plus years now I'm doing beauty. I went, kind of went straight out of modelling into beauty.
So
but it was where I wanted to go.
Because you're modelling like nearly 40 years ago.
Yeah, I was. I started
in school.
And you
were a fetus.
Yeah, basically. I know, I started in school, someone just asked me to do it. And it was a case of, like, my mother said I had 6 months to make it work or I had to go to college. So I made it work for 16 years so that I didn't have to go to college.
Wow.
And then went straight into beauty because I just loved beauty. So I've been doing that ever since. But, like, I mean, Liz, you know, you're a beauty editor. So, like, it is a bit of a passion for most of us that are in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So like between the jigs and the reels, you write, you do TV, you do radio, you do digital, which I do now.
Yeah.
And then like you're
kind of doing 10 hats. Then you have to become an influencer.
I really don't want to become an influencer. Thanks very much. I have enough going on. But yeah, so it's been a really interesting decades. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's changed so much. I mean, you'd know that yourself.
Oh,
like around the time that you were in Image,
yeah.
We would have been, you know, kind of hinting at the things of, like, you know, people getting Botox, fillers didn't even really exist.
No,
yeah.
People doing things behind closed doors.
Yeah,
the amount of women
hinting, the right word. Yeah,
yeah, going up and down, you know,
whispers, whispers about, did she have something done?
Yeah,
well, that kind of thing. But I always remember that, like, there was a kind of a very famous clinic on Bagot Street at the canal.
Yeah,
I had an agent down the road from there, and the amount of women in hats and scarves,
yeah,
and sunglasses. In the middle of summer, going up and down the canal.
That's the first place I ever got filler.
Yeah.
What clinic is this?
I can't say the name of it, but
I got filler there. That was the first, when I was 27, I had these big fur lines. Yeah, and I went up there and I always remember.
Harley Street Clinic.
Yeah, you were the one who actually hooked it up for me.
Did I?
Yeah, I can't remember. And you were supposed to go to something and they were doing, like, this is the back in the day now where they're inviting people to go to things and you couldn't go or didn't want to go. I can't remember. So I went along. I don't know whether I pretended to be you or I don't know what. But anyway, I had these big furrow 11s lines. Mm. And my dad used to always say to me, Nicola, stop frowning. Stop.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, this is just my face. Like, this is what my face looks like. And I remember I got those filled.
Yes.
At 27 at the opening of that clinic.
Wow.
Which I'll tell you is a few years ago now.
But it has just turned 360.
Now they're like, they're as frequent as coffee shops nowadays.
It's a badge of honour now,
yeah,
for all the work you can get done.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a woman this morning with, my God, I'm not even sure what she had done, but she definitely
bad work.
A lot of lip, a lot of cheek, a lot of forehead, a lot of brows, a lot of lashes. And I kind of thought,
I know, but
what's under all that?
I don't know, but this is it. But like, that's, if you could see people's work, that's bad work, do you know?
Yeah, of course.
You know, but it's a bit like, even going back to the basic, like, beauty side, like, you know, you see the girls, the young girls particularly now, and it's like,
the big eye makeup. And it's still the same thing. It's all the too much competing things. It's like, you know, too much on the eyelashes and the you know, the big fancy eyeliner and the lips and the full contour, full eyebrow, full everything.
I mean, it's good to kind of, I mean, the contour thing kind of, oh my God, I was so over it when it only started. You know, I mean, there's all of these things in makeup that kind of just go to the extreme, but that really shouldn't, you know, that kind of way. And maybe that makes me just sound very old fashioned, but there's such a thing with makeup that I think if it's the more subtle it's done,
the better it is.
Yeah, the better it is, but the less popular.
I think that's an age thing though.
No, because it's less popular.
No, because like I was looking at, like, we had a lovely guest in here last week. She had like full face makeup on, and she made some comment to me. She's like, oh, this is just my normal, like, working face makeup. And I was like, oh my God, that is, like, and I was thinking, is that just an age thing though? Because I probably was like,
well, I remember when I was in my 20s, and I used to go, it was always my handbag was so heavy because I would bring like 75 products out with me everywhere. I don't think I ever used them, but I always felt that I had to have it. It was like my safety blanket, you know. So I do think it's generational. Do you remember? Like, I remember Kevin Acorn. Do you remember Kevin? Am I pronouncing it right? Kevin Acorn?
Acorn.
Like, he was the hot, he was the Charlotte Tilbury of the day. Do you know what I mean? With Francois Nors and everything like that. And like, he used to, like, 100% Google him. Like, he would transform people's faces, and he was the first person to do, like, he would use contouring and so forth to 100% trans. And like, he did this amazing book. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Making Faces. And he had all these celebrities like Julia Roberts, and he turned Julia Roberts into a man, you know. Or
he used to always do the supermodels' makeups.
Yeah.
So the likes of Cindy Crawford,
all of them.
I think that was what everybody wanted to look like in the 90s.
But they were stunning to begin with.
And also, we did not have the makeup in the 90s that
they have now.
You'd be better if you'd gone to America for a Mac or for a Maybelline Great Lash.
Oh my
mascara.
God, yeah.
You know? So, like, it was just
totally
was
different.
A world away from us, you know.
But in a way, now we have too much information and too many tutorials and too many products, and it's just, the overwhelm is insane.
Do you know, watch those befores and after on Instagram? Like, I love them. And like, you, like, see these girls and they have this full transformation. They look, particularly the Asian ones. Have you seen some of the Asian transformations?
No.
And they do things like, they have tapes and all sorts of things. And like,
but again, that's been going on in photo shoots forever.
Yeah.
It's the original go to bed with Marilyn and wake up with,
well, the taping
Norma
your
Jean
face thing. Yeah.
All of the celebrity makeup artists would have face taped for years.
I'm
Naomi Campbell was queen of that.
In one of the episodes of what's that program
show? Grace and Frankie.
Yeah, so one of the, she takes out the hair extent, then she takes off the eye things, takes off the tape, and then she's tapes under here, and then she's something else on the teeth and everything. And like, oh, and then the chicken fillets out. I mean, like, it's changed, but it hasn't changed, really.
Yeah, I mean, the quest for looking better, I don't think, has ever changed.
But the things we do to look better has changed.
I mean, that's generational. That's, like, cyclical. Like, and we've talked about this before, whether you're a Victorian, whether you're an Egyptian, whatever era you grew up in, people do mad stuff in the quest of, so whatever the society's perception of beauty at a given time is, it's not necessarily their perception, it's just a societal perception. Yeah. And right now, our perception is, well, it's changing. Like, we went from
big boobs,
Kate
big
Moss
bums,
to the Kardashians, to where are we now? I don't know where we are now.
We're going back to natural aesthetic.
Is the clean girl aesthetic coming through?
Vanilla girl.
Vanilla girl. I can't keep up with all the TikTok trends.
What is a vanilla girl? I don't even know. Is that like,
I only heard about it yesterday. I think it's something to do with, like, it's the quiet kind of girl, the luxury trend.
Stealth
much
belt.
More. Yeah, it's much more tonal dressing as opposed to just all cream and camel coat.
Oh, God.
Basically, Lindsay Lohan. Is Lindsay Lohan the new vanilla girl?
No, Lindsay is not vanilla. It's not vanilla.
Well, I mean, her new aesthetic.
Her new aesthetic.
Well, we'll come back to that in a minute. On your journey, Laura.
On your journey.
On your journey, hashtag. Over the last 30 years, apart from what you've just done in the last few months, which we're going to come on to now in a few minutes, what's the craziest thing you've ever done in the light of beauty duty?
Oh, I was trying to think about this because I spent many years doing really insane things. Huh. I did a whole year at the Mail on Sunday where all I did was therapies. Yeah. So every Sunday I would write just a whole page just on a therapy.
Yeah.
But like, that's what, 52 Sundays?
Yeah.
Wow. How many therapies are there? Like, I mean, this is going way back, so I couldn't even do filler for one of them. But I would do insane crap. Like, you know, I do Reiki 1 week. I remember falling asleep in some basement. In Nace, of all places, where I'd gone to have, I think it was Reiki, and this woman was just like swinging scarves around me. So I was really tired and really stressed. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
She left me there.
Okay.
I wake up. What time is it? I go out. My car has been clamped.
No.
I'm really not de-stressed now. Yeah, yeah. Like lunatic. But I did stuff like I had to get chronic irrigation one time because we were running out of stuff. Right. I don't eat meat. I eat very little starchy things. There was nothing blocking me in any shape or form. And I was supposed to go to the VIP Style Awards that night. I was chained to the toilet. Like, there was no way I was going anywhere. It's the worst thing I ever did. I also wore this device for 3 months to grow my breasts.
Go on. Oh my God.
Stupid, right?
Okay, tell me.
Like, and I think there was
actually, sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, well, I think they actually gave me extra wages for doing it, right? So it was like two giant orbs with a huge rim of silicone around both, right? So now I'm not very well endowed, as you know. This thing sat out here, but it had a motor, and I was in some.
It's like a breast pump.
Yeah, I was like in a kind of harness of a thing to hold it on, right? And I looked insane in clothes because it just I was this size, except out here, I was out here. And
like, so sorry, these were like, these were on to you all the time.
Basically bolt-ons.
Yes, I had to wear them, I think it was about 22 hours a day or something. So I was wearing them in bed. But if the seal broke on either of them, this mental alarm went off, right? And the amount of times my husband Morgan went, take the fucking thing off you, seriously. But we had to go and do, I had to come do a review of Delphi.
No, no, come back. I will come back to the boobs.
Yeah.
Back to the boobs. So they go off topic.
Do they suck your boobs out?
Yeah, the motor
was it sore?
Oh God, they got so tender, like it was ridiculous.
Obviously, is it like
I did it for 3 months.
Oh my God! So you like a dick pump for your breasts?
Exactly. Yeah. And there was a dick version.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I think there still is. Oh, there's still dick pumps.
What would that look like in trousers?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, but I don't. I think you're only supposed to. I thought they just did it for like half an hour. Yeah.
I mean, pre-action, I just thought it was to get them hard. No,
I don't really know. Anyway,
but this thing.
So you like wore the breast pump effectively for 22 hours a day.
And we had to go to Delphi to do a review. And if anyone's gone to Delphi Spa, it's the quietest place in the planet. And I'm sitting there, I'm trying to eat my tea, and whatever way I moved or something, I set the fucking thing off. And going up, and people are in the restaurant kind of going, think, was a fire alarm?
And does it sound like an actual breast pump, like for, you know, when your breast milk?
Anyone who's breast pumped knows
quite,
that noise.
Quiet, except for the alarm.
Do you know the alarm? But the alarm goes off when it fell off.
Breaks.
Do you remember the old Sandertones used to do that too when the breaks?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But I ended up having to go on Jerry Ryan talking about it because it had been in the paper. And like everyone was like getting in touch with me going, we wondered had you had a boob job. Like I looked ridiculous. Yeah, I didn't even look like I had a boob job. I looked like something.
But it was like, it was mad. Sorry, this is like two cups, but they were activated somehow.
Yeah, they were activated with like a tube and the tube ran into that, sucked the air out. But the harness kind of kept the whole thing on and somewhere,
Did you do that for 3 months?
3 months.
Wow. Oh like, I'm going to ask you the stupidest question of all time.
Did it work? No, of course it didn't work.
Does she have double D's? No, she does not.
Oh my God.
Didn't work a bit. And then it was taken off the market.
Yeah, I'm so, not shockingly.
I'm not surprised. But it was really funny doing these treatments because we went across, because there was so many weeks we had to cover. So we did things that were very much cosmetic. We did things that were, we had to go into alternative stuff because there wasn't enough things to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So I ended up with people, like I was in more basements around Dublin. And I don't know why, because like maybe if there's cheap or something, if you got a random clinic. But like I'd be in somewhere off Mountjoy Square with a couple of people in a tiny room getting cupping. And then because I was so tall, the bed was shorter than me. So I'd have to get cupping like on my back. Even though there's nothing wrong with us, just to get the pictures, because we had to photograph everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was doing all of these things, and then there's one always stood out to me, this woman. She was on North Circular Road, right?
Yeah.
Part of that Jan de Vries. You know that brand, Jan de Vries?
No.
Are they Dutch or German? I can't remember. It might be Austrian. So anyway, it was a really popular kind of clinic. I think it's still there.
Mm.
And she did this thing. We had a rule that when I went in, they knew I was coming in, but they didn't know anything about me. So didn't have to fill out medical forms or things. Mm. Like if I said, oh, I have asthma.
Super safe.
Oh, we can see your asthma is flaring up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. So we did it based on that premise.
Okay.
So I went into this.
So it was like on your fourth teller, you wouldn't tell them about your background.
Exactly. You wouldn't tell them anything. So I went into this woman, lovely, lovely woman. And what she was doing was she had a camera and basically she read irises. So she read your eyes. So it's iridology is the name.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, this is interesting. But I didn't know what really anything about. So went in. So she takes a photograph of your iris. Now you're talking the photographs like this size.
Yeah.
Been on all the rings of your eyes.
Yeah.
The belief is it's somewhat like
trees,
you know, like acupressure and acupuncture and stuff, but that each ring of the eye relates to a system in the body, so like the nervous system or the digestive system.
Yeah.
But then there can be breaks in these rings, right? So that indicates something. So I was sitting there thinking, what is she going to say? So she was able to tell me how old I was when I had my tonsils out. She was able to tell me I'd had an operation on my knee, which knee it was and what age I was.
No.
Because of where the breaks were. She was able to tell me I had a chest infection, which I didn't know, and I found out the next day I was dying. She was able to tell me all of these things and other stuff that might be low-lying in my life that I should address before it gets bad.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something like, I don't know, an allergy. Not an allergy, but like something you might not be aware you have.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was the most interesting thing. And she never touched me. I never told her anything about me. And
I never even heard. What's it called?
Iridology.
Iridology.
I've heard of iridology before.
It's like thermography. Have you ever tried thermography?
No.
Yeah, you're
it's
mad.
Really interesting. Yeah. So I went to see this woman out in Malahide, Greta Cullen's her name, out in Thermography Ireland. And the idea is, so you have to go out and you strip off and you put your hands into this cold ice kind of water to, you know, bring your temperature down, and you're in this kind of cold room with the window open, and she has a camera there in front of you, an infrared camera, and I'm sure there's more science to it than this, but this is the bones of it. And you sit there for 40 minutes freezing your tits off, literally. And afterwards she's able to show you these thermographic images of where there's heat points in your body. And so for me it was all like around my breasts, and the idea is that they can show breast cancers and things like that up to 5 years before a mammogram.
Wow.
And weirdly, what she could show me was, she was like, you've mad dental problems all down one side. And she's like, and it's dripping down all into your lymph nodes and it's all down into that side of your breast. And so she was like, you need to go and make sure that you've go and get a mammogram and an ultrasound and then go to your dentist. And I went to the dentist and the dentist was like, oh my God. He's like, how have you been living with that? He's like, you have two really bad teeth who are like really, really like proper infection.
What else? Okay, what other mad stuff have you done over the years?
I mean,
maybe not necessarily mad. What about stuff that's your absolute essential
ride or die stuff?
Ride or die. What's your ride or die?
I mean, like yourselves, I probably change, you know, in skincare and stuff. I never think one size fits all in skincare. It really doesn't. And I don't.
Are you like me? Are you over skincare?
No, not particularly, no. But I think I kind of pared it back a lot to what I just like and what I think works.
Yeah.
And I don't even go too far down the ingredient route.
Yeah.
So I kind of do more in terms of how my skin feels after.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously I use retinol. I think that's past 35. I think you're mad if you don't.
Yeah.
Vitamin C, I've never really gotten bored with. I kind of do, I kind of don't do.
Yeah.
I adore a face oil. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have combination skin, so I shouldn't really. But yeah. In the winter, I find that's just a layer that I like.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of work more in terms of textures and how my skin feels after, as opposed to, oh my God, I must have, you know, hyaluronic acid in this.
Yeah.
And I try to minimize stuff where I can. Like in the morning, because my skin is that little bit oilier, I'll stick on a serum and go straight into sunscreen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or else I'll do, and I don't go by, I'm not a snob in terms of what's cheap, what's not cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think some brands need a real packaging recheck, but there's some products that are super, super affordable that do two jobs.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like the Inkeylist Polybutanic Acid, the SPF 30. That's a genius product.
That's a tenner or something, isn't it?
It's a tenner. It's so much heavier than hyaluronic acid.
Yeah.
You don't need anything else. Won't interfere with the oil production on your face.
Mm.
And your sunscreen's there. It's done. It's done and done. I love that. So stuff like that, I much prefer. To me, makeup, skincare, all of these things, beauty in general, is about confidence. And whether you get it from a red lipstick or from, I sound so boring now, but I really think when you see a transformation in people because of something that beauty gave them, I think that is where it's worth the money. Or it's, you know, it's worth it if it's a budget product. Like you can always get, if you love red lipstick, you'll always get a cheap one, more or less the same color. I mean, if you look hard enough, you will. If you use some of the skincare comparison sites like Skin School, you go in there with your La Mer or your Prairie or whatever, they will find something with an Inkeylist as close as you can get at a budget price. So, like, they make you feel good, buy them. Yeah, of course.
Mm.
If you want, you know, the same kind of texture or ingredients or something, go looking for the cheaper alternative. But, like, at one point when I was in R&DM, we had this thing where I was all sent out to do things. I was like, this is the greatest idea. I don't know. But they had this thing where we followed the journey of three people with plastic surgery.
Yes.
And I was like, this is great because this is the noughties, right? So this would have been a time when it would have been on this morning and all these problems.
Yeah.
And in the UK, like the people themselves would have been like, you know, suitably upset and crying. And just like, and I was like, this is going to be amazing television, like so good, completely fitting that I was in Ireland. And then when I went out to meet these people, they were all mad, right? And they were all like dying to get into hospital to get their things done. And like, when I saw the transformation, because we followed them from the they'd had their consultations, they were actual patients. We didn't just go randomly asking people to have operations. So I just kind of followed them through it. But one woman, I'll never forget her, she was a tiny little woman, and she had tiny arms, tiny legs, and she had a huge skirt of fat from having, I think, 3 or 4 enormous babies.
Yeah.
And her, God bless her, her husband had died, but her husband had said, look, if, you know, there's ever comes a time I can afford to pay for you to have that done, we'll get it done. So after he died, she thought, I'm getting it done, right? So I followed her and I went out to her house and stuff like that. I went to the hospital with her and everything. And she was like, there were builders in her back garden building an extension that she was getting as well. And she kind of flipped down the skirt that she wore, because she couldn't wear trousers, to show me the skirt. And I'm like, it's scared of her stomach. And I'm like looking at the builders, they're looking in the window. And I'm like, this is weird to tell you. So, but anyway, followed her to the end of it, right? She became shopaholic at the end of it. I had to go shopping with her at one point. She bought everything she ever wanted
to
wear.
She felt fabulous.
She felt fabulous. And she couldn't wear anything for it. And she had, I'd say she was around the 50 mark.
Yeah.
And her children were like 20. You know what I mean? That kind of age group.
Yeah.
And she hadn't worn nice clothes for 30 years.
Aww.
And I was like, oh my God. But the excitement of these people made it funnier, because I was just like, I thought there'd be a tear. I thought I'd have to patch her arm. Not a bit.
They're all delighted.
Pin them to the chair.
Do you know something? Like, that is cool, because like, all we generally see on media or read about or see on Instagram is the bad stories. You know what I mean? Because obviously, you know, bad news is good for news, basically, you know. And 9 times out of 10, it's all about the scandal and the botch jobs and the disasters and the... But like, that is like 1% of what's happening. Most of the time, people get like such a life-changing, you know, experience out of surgeries.
Especially for like breast reductions and skin reductions. Yeah. And
but even the little things, like if it's a bit of Botox or if it's a bit of filler or something like that.
Ears being pinned back. Sure, we're talking to
Vina about that.
Ears being pinned back. And
the little things. And amazing. 99% of people who come to us on, whether it's a DM or come to Future Beauty Show or whatever, they're not looking to look like they want to go into Love Island or Kardashian. They just want to fix something that is driving them mad. And they don't want to do the wrong. They don't want to do the wrong treatment or go to the wrong clinic or spend their money on something that's not going to work.
But but I think that essentially is a confidence thing.
Yes.
And like, if it is, I know one or two kids who've had their ears pinned back, and like they were facing into 10 years of horrible teenage years. And I can't see anything wrong with that. And as well as that, if someone has, I don't know, a really bad neck, or they have, you know, something that they just is damaging and chipping away at their confidence, go and get it done. But like your show, which is the place to go to find these people, you really need to do your homework.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people who get suckered into the, you know, going to Turkey thing and, you know, applying to Facebook ads and stuff, like, seriously, that's not where you start. Like, I mean, I've had a procedure done. That's, I think, why I'm in here.
Yeah, can't wait.
But even I had to go and do research.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And when you know yourselves, when you start asking around, you start to get names, but then you can start to get other names where people go, I don't know. You know what I mean? Or such and such. Go talk to somebody who you talk to.
Your
people in the know.
Personal experiences, I think, are really valuable feedback.
Yeah.
You get the nuance of what actually happened. You know what I mean? The personal interaction in a clinic, or how doctor treated you. Or
my biggest gripe with all of this is that people... Well, like, I mean, everyone is easily swayed. It's Instagram, right? I mean, Instagram is amazing. It's a wonderful tool. But people assume because that doctor or clinic has good Instagram game, they are good at their service. And you're like, genuinely, the good surgeons and the good clinicians, they don't have time to do Instagram.
No.
You know, they don't have time to rehearse TikTok dances. You know, they're treating their patients day in, day out. And their patients are the top priority, not getting 1,000 likes per post.
The 6-month wait list is always a good indication.
This is it. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not saying, and I think COVID changed everything, because suddenly the doctors had nothing to do. So they were all over TikTok and they were all over thing. But most of the ones who were in demand kind of recessed back into their, you know, their actual
My
room.
Argument for them, though, like the doctors and the people who listen to us, is like, I know they don't want to do this, but they kind of have to, because the ones who are doing it are the
Lizzie Lip fillers, as you keep saying it.
Yeah.
And they've got game. So they're, I mean, but this is the thing with any treatment. You do need to do your research. And unfortunately, it is in the hands of consumers.
So, which brings us
Before we go on to this, before we go on to that, tell us about other things you do. Before you, so when did you start doing Botox?
I started doing Botox, well, I think I was at 33.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's about close to 20 years ago.
Bloody hell. Mm. Did Patrick, you went to Patrick Tracy, didn't you?
I still do.
Do you still go to Patrick?
Yeah.
Nails
still.
Wow.
Yeah. He semi-retired now, but he brought in Dr. Nanette from...
Oh, yeah, we know Nanette.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
so
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I kind of...
And Aoife's in there as well, in Aylesbury.
Aoife's fabulous. Yeah. Aoife actually was measuring my face the last time I was in there.
Was she?
Yeah. She was like, we need to just make sure your profile... this hadn't happened before. Your profile is even. I was like,
yeah,
okay,
profile balancing. Love it. Yeah.
But
that was the original Aylesbury clinic.
Patrick is like, I mean, for those who are listening, Patrick is like the original aesthetic doctor in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he must be at this 40 years.
Oh,
godfather of aesthetic in Ireland.
Yeah,
he was the original like guy who fixed Michael Jackson. Isn't that the...
Patrick Tracy, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But I mean, you can't... I mean, he had to go... He got a bigger clinic and it's beautiful. And I think they're expanding it even now. But like, he had to stop bringing in his awards. You couldn't sit down because there were so many awards.
I know. He's very academic. Yeah. Very academic. And he's written like a million books.
Yeah, he wrote 2 books in COVID. But he also, like, he does a huge amount of charity work.
Yeah.
And he does stuff with like burns.
Yeah, theft pallets. And...
He's half his life is doing that.
Yes. He's more of a philanthropist, really, isn't he, than a doctor?
Well, he was a flying doctor in Australia for years.
Was he?
Yes, he was. Listen, Patrick has done so many things. Yeah. I actually... blows my mind.
He's a million lifestyles.
He's had about 3 lives so far.
You're down Aylesbury Clinic for your frequent...
That must have been back in the day when it was completely, it was almost illegal to have Botox.
Yeah, pretty much.
So did you tell anyone though?
I told my husband, I told my friends. I mean, I didn't really go around advertising it.
Yeah.
But I was delighted. I was just like, look at this. I didn't have bunny lines at that point.
Yeah.
But I did have like a faint... line across here and one here. And I was just like amazed that
it worked.
It vanished.
Yeah.
And look, it's one of the things I always find kind of interesting is what people say, you know, is preventative Botox. Should you do it? Should you not do it? I don't know, to be honest with you. Like, I think there's girls in their 20s do have forehead lines now. I think that is not preventative. They're there. You know what I mean? Whereas if there was nothing there, I'd be like, I'd hang on a bit. You know what I mean? Because I did have 3 faint ones. And like, whenever mine is kind of worn off, that's all that comes back.
They come back, yeah.
That's all that comes back. Like, I see that as preventative. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's just tackle the first 3 and, like, knock out the next 30. Do you know what I mean? For 20 years.
Yeah, fair enough.
And what else are you doing in there, in Aylesbury or anywhere else, like, for that matter?
Not a lot. Really not a lot.
Have you dabbled in the fillers and the lasers?
I've had a little bit of filler. I've only had for red veins, and I need to do it again because they come back. You know what I mean? Like, we have that kind
of... Especially for your skin type.
Yeah,
exactly.
I thought you'd be living in an IPL machine.
But, like, I'm just back off holidays. And, I honestly do believe the more you, like, slather on the sunscreen, wear a hat. I mean, I really believe in that. I don't ever get my face tanned.
Yeah,
I don't even get my chest tanned anymore.
No,
I'm you know, aiming for a good-looking 70 here. Do you know what I mean? Hopefully. But no, I don't get a whole lot more than that.
Surely you've done the radio frequency mic and needling and something.
No, I haven't.
Maybe not.
No, I should do. I just haven't had time.
Really?
I mean, I did. Funny enough,
I've got down there to Aylesbury now. They've got some great devices.
They've amazing.
They have Secret Pro in there.
Secret Pro.
Yeah, get on the Secret Pro.
Yeah, I watched the demo of that there.
Very good. And they also have they do the full CO2 resurfacing as well, which is like hardcore. Brilliant.
Yeah. I think you might be braver than me.
You don't need any of this, I'm just saying. But if you want to be a good-looking 70, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, I'll keep it in mind. But I did, funny enough, the one thing I did try that it really made me think about fillers, was Profhilome.
You did or you didn't?
I did do it.
And?
And it was funny because someone I know did it at the same time as me. And did the 2 treatments, whatever, and she got great results.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't look like I'd had anything
done.
And I honestly think it's that type of treatment where the shape of your face...
But
really,
it's
matters.
Also your skin texture is probably too good.
Well, maybe I don't
and
know.
And the injector,
but
whoever
just,
did.
No,
I just think
you,
my
like
face
if you,
just
I think Profhilo, if you're working on virgin skin, you know what I mean? Someone who's never had anything done before, who hasn't been, you know, doing treatments for their whole lifetime, they're going to get a great result out of it because it does give you that. But generally, if you're getting Botox and you're doing your bits and pieces, you're not going to get a whole lot of kick.
But
out
I just
of
think
it.
It's brilliant for those kind of facial lines that run down the cheeks.
If the little
have,
ones, yeah.
Yeah, if you have those, it just smooths that out. But I don't have that. So I was like, what am I supposed to be looking for here?
And
I thought, do you know, I really wouldn't bother with the expense of it if I had to pay for it.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive.
Yeah.
But if I saw a great difference, I'd go for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was the one thing I thought.
You tried in your neck?
My neck. Mm. Yeah, I got a little bit. No.
See, that's all I find it good for is my neck.
Yeah.
But what are the results? You see, I don't really those have lines. Them, I don't think.
I find it the best for my neck more than anywhere else. I think it's
I good. Have that Deirdre Barlow neck situation.
Deirdre Barlow. Secret Pro.
No, a tiny bit of Botox.
Yeah, I got neck Botox.
Yeah, because other than that, I look like I should just be wearing the big glasses and shouting Ken.
No way.
It's so bad. No, they're so bad.
Do you get like neck Botox because you have horizontal ones or vertical ones?
I have horizontal.
The
platinum spans.
Yeah.
And I did ask, you know, is there an alternative to Botox? Mm-hmm. Like, can you cut them out? So no, apparently death is the only alternative.
Well, you kind of can. That's what you're getting in a necklace.
Yeah, but they don't cut them out. They just tighten them.
Well, they actually shorten them.
Your head stand up if you didn't have your neck pads.
No, they don't cut them out, but they do.
They do a job. Yeah, they because do. Because otherwise, they pull your cheeks down.
Yeah, they pull everything down.
Yes, that'd be my next bastard. Campaign, bastard.
Really?
That's my next campaign as well. Yeah, lower neck. Yeah, I'm all for it. But in the meantime, you've been
your current campaign.
In the meantime, you've been you've jumped from beauty to injectables, and then you decided to jump right off the cliff into a little of surgical.
I don't think a blepharoplasty. Can I just say is.
I think anything that involves a scalpel is jumping.
In my head, blepharoplasty is up there with Botox. I don't see it.
To be honest, I would nearly agree with you now.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I had a relation and a friend who had upper and lower blephs done about 20 years ago, 18 years ago. And that was a serious job. Like you went into hospital, general anaesthetic, you were in there for 3 or 4 days. Yeah. A lot of the, you know, big.
Yeah, drama. Yeah.
I went into a clinic at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And I was in the car going home at 12 o'clock and they were done.
So let's just rewind a little bit.
Sure.
Blepharoplasty is because you felt like you wanted to get some of the overhang
100%.
Upper lids
and
removed.
And it wasn't an age thing. It wasn't that I just kind of decided on it one day. This had been something I've been looking at since my 20s. And I was really like just... bothered by it.
You have a genetic.
It's a genetic thing, And by the time I got to last year, coming out of COVID and stuff, I was just so. And like I worked all the way through COVID, so it wasn't a case of sitting home like looking at myself for longer than I ever would. It was getting to the point where my lid was now touching off my eyelashes, the overhang, and I thought this is just not going to get better. Obviously not, but I want to do it now before it gets any further. But what was so interesting about it, because me and you have talked about this before, Liz. So every time we meet Liz, we talk about something surgical.
What we're going to do. Who's going to do it?
Here's the wish list.
But when I started to talk to people, and even people like in the industry, everyone's like, oh, everyone says, I know someone had that done. They love it.
Everyone has it done. And not everyone has it done, but a lot of people.
A lot of people kind of don't really understand what happens.
Yeah.
And then other people I spoke to kind of in the media, not like necessarily in beauty, wanted to have it done, but wanted also to know what it was like.
Okay, so tell us about what it's like. So first of all, you went to Cormac Joyce.
Yeah, I went to Cormac Joyce.
Mr. Cormac Joyce. Is he Mr. or does he go under Mr.? He's Mr.
Mr.
Yeah.
Some surgeons call themselves Mr. Some call them Doctor.
I think he calls himself Doctor.
But he's an IOPS surgeon. He's very highly respected.
Yeah.
And he...
But I had done my research on him.
Yeah.
Like I talked to various people in the industry about who would you go to?
Yes.
Who do you think I should go to?
Yes.
So, and this is, his name came up so much.
Yeah.
So I made the appointment to go out and see him. And
Monkstown. Yeah.
And we had a really big long chat and he was sort of saying like, you know, you are a candidate, but he said like, why do you want to get this done? I said, it's not even so much a case of why. I said, I felt tired. They were heavy.
Yeah.
It actually made my eyes tired every day.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is bizarre. And I used to be able to, when I was modelling, I used to be able to fake a crease with eyeshadow so that it would look better than it was. I couldn't even do that anymore.
I'm the same.
You are not the
same. I am. I can't even do my eyeliner anymore.
But this was the thing. Mascara even was an issue.
My mascara is coming up there. I still have my head in. Yeah.
But it wasn't even a case of where I just wanted to wear makeup. It wasn't as straightforward as that. I didn't feel they fit with the rest of my face.
Yeah, you know, in photographs you get all these like you just like they look like squinty little eyes.
I just look like I had two big balls of fat here. Horrible.
Nikki keeps looking at me going, "You really need a bluff. You really need a bluff." She just says this like I've been working across the table and she'd be like, "You really need a bluff now, Liz." And I'm like, "Well, I'll just pop out and get one."
Well, we're all going to have it. My dad is so
dad's fault.
His overhang is so bad that he's getting Rosanna Khan is doing it for him.
I don't know how he can see.
He can't actually see.
I think that happens eventually.
Oh yeah, no, totally. So he's just had his cataracts done and he's now getting his bleph done. Well, I don't know if he's actually going to do it, but
there's lots of men doing it though.
Well, he has to. He actually, he cannot see.
Yeah. To the point where if it goes any, if it gets any worse, then it's going to restrict his driving. And he won't be able to drive. And if he can't drive, then he'll get it done. But I don't know if he bothered doing it before.
Anyway, let's not talk about him. Let's talk about Laura.
Sorry. Yeah, but apparently there are loads of guys that have done 50s and 60s.
And because it's the no Botox thing. Yeah. Brad Pitt has definitely had it done.
And I think men don't particularly want Botox because they think it looks distinct.
This is a much easier option. So anyway, you go to Cormac, you have the chat. When was this?
This was, I think, about the middle of May.
Yeah.
And then the date was set for the 9th of June. He operates at the weekend. So this is a Sunday morning. And obviously my husband had to take me because I was going to get a Xanax, which I'd never had before.
There's no general.
No general at all. No. Local. And the whole procedure.
What do you mean you never had a Xanax? Have you never had a Xanax?
I just never needed
one. Jesus.
We're not on the party beans that you were, Liz, in the 90s.
Bloody hell.
My fine wine is enough, Liz, do you know what I mean? So I went, so Gary had to drive me and wait to collect me and all the rest of it. And basically I sat there. He put on some numbing cream, the most expensive in the world because it's the strongest in the world, I'm told. And I was like, don't spare it, you know.
Yeah.
So that was put on. I took the Xanax, it was just to relax me. That was grand. I didn't really notice much of anything. And then for the actual procedure itself, you get some local injections, local anaesthetic injections around the eye. They didn't feel like anything.
Like just like your dental block kind of thing.
Not even as bad as that. Like I wrote about this and I just went, I would rather have this done than have a filling, basically.
Okay.
So that was that. And then he sort of said to me, look, there's going to be a really bright light. Just keep your eyes shut. And he was like, it's not Jesus calling you home. And I was like, that's a phone call I'm never getting. But anyway, so I was like, yeah, fine, whatever. So I just lay back, felt nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. I think I'll touch your hand now. Yeah. That's kind of what I felt.
Wow.
That's all I felt. And then it was over in 15 minutes.
And so he used a laser to cut out.
Or a knife.
No.
A knife.
Scalpel.
Scalpel. And then basically when I came, when it was over, I had two strings. It's not threads going up into and around my eyelids and they were held together with tape here and tape between my eyebrows.
Okay.
So that was the main stitch.
Yes.
And then
it's all one stitch.
It's all one stitch.
Yeah.
For each eye. Yes. And then there's a line not across, straight tied at the back of your head. Then there's a line.
You might have just coined a new surgical treatment though.
I don't think so. And then there's just paper stitches all the way along. So they eventually kind of dry and flake off.
So okay, so you leave the surgery at like 12 o'clock in the car. How are you feeling? Grand. Yeah.
Went home, kind of just read a book. I was told not to.
What did you do that day? Like just chill?
Just chill. It was a Sunday.
Yeah.
I had taken.
Enjoyed the Xanax.
I still didn't really feel what the hell that was about. But I had taken the week off just to see what way I would progress. Because I kind of thought, well, I'm not going to be driving to the office or whatever. I may as well just relax. I had the days. But like that day was absolutely fine. For about two or three nights after it, you have to sleep slightly raised up. So you can't roll onto your side.
Oh gosh.
But that's not
Did you just
an
use
issue.
One of those pillow things?
Use a second pillow. Yeah. Fell asleep. And it was funny because it was zero pain.
Zero pain. Were your eyes not all swollen and tired?
No. But by about day two or three, you start to get a bit of swelling and bruising.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it was worse on one side than the other. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even feel that. Like if I needed to go.
Were your eyes not all like squinty and bulgy or anything?
No.
Were you icing them all the time or anything?
I had forgotten to do that. I didn't do anything.
Oh.
About day three, I started to take Arnica.
Yeah.
Which you said that will help with the bruising.
Yeah.
I did that and it really did.
Mm.
But like the plasters even themselves were so flesh coloured that I was able to open the door to couriers and they didn't even notice.
They were important.
Like,
they didn't run away.
They're grand. You look different.
So how long did you have the stitch in for?
I had the stitch in, I had the operation on the Sunday and I had the stitch out on the following Saturday.
So 6 days.
6 days. And then
did you grind about or were you hiding at home?
No, I wasn't hiding. I mean, if I went out, I put sunglasses on. But like the bruising, I could just touch up with concealer.
Yeah.
The week after the stitch came out, I was back in the office. No one even noticed.
Well,
I mean, I was still probably a bit swollen then. But like that was it. Now I've been back.
All in, like full recover, basically back in the office, looking normalish. A 1 week?
Yeah, about 8 days.
But you could work the rest of the week.
I worked during that week because I was bored.
Yeah.
I'm never off, so I was like, here, let's get ahead of the paper.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Just keep typing. But the thing was, because and I'm in here talking to you too about it, and like this is your world completely with Future Beauty, because of the amount of people who I know who are actually involved in this industry who don't really know the ins and outs of how it happens, I kind of thought, you know, people outside of the industry would be really interested to see. And so I was just in a conversation with Linda Marr, who's the editor of You magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, Laura, I want to know what that's about. Will you do it?
Yeah.
So I said, sure. I said, I have nothing to hide. I don't generally talk about myself in terms of beauty. It's always about other people and readers and things. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? So it's going to come. It's going to be in the paper.
Great.
The magazine this Saturday.
Great.
But what I've done is...
wish everyone was more honest.
Well, do you know something? It was such a big deal for me. Such a big confidence thing for me. And like people kind of go, you're like deranged. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter. Like it really meant something to me. It was really important.
Yeah.
And it's taken me this long to get it done. But I filmed it at home. Now, it's a very raw, very grim looking in my kitchen. But I filmed it from the day before.
Yeah.
I filmed it on the day. And I filmed across the next week of how I was feeling, what I look like.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm going to stick that on Instagram from the weekend. So okay, anyone amazing. Wants to have a look at it, have a look at
and
it.
And how do you feel? Do you feel brilliant?
I feel brilliant.
Are you annoyed that you didn't do it years ago?
I don't ever think like that.
No.
Okay. No. I'm just glad I did it. I was saving away last year and I thought I'm going to do something for myself and I'll upgrade my car.
Mm.
I don't care about cars. So I said, feck it.
Upgrade my face.
Upgrade my face. I get my eyes done and my teeth done. And that's the two things have been living in my head rent-free that annoy me for the last 30 years.
Okay, so the eyes are done now and we're delighted with ourselves. And do you feel like, for me, it would be when you're putting on makeup now, are you delighted?
Yeah.
Have you any scarring?
Nothing.
Nothing. Like when I've no makeup on.
Close your eyes for a sec.
It was pink when they were first done. But now, this is what, the end of September?
So it was only a few months ago.
They've nearly gone clear. Now,
and apparently it gets better, isn't it?
Oh, of course, that literally the best result is at six months,
yeah.
So I'm not even there yet. Yeah. It's kind of Christmas.
But I do want to caveat to people who are thinking about getting it done. Please go to a plastic surgeon or an ocular surgeon, like one or the other, ideally, because, I mean, it's still your eyes, it's still your face.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, if it goes wrong... And we've talked about this before, that people, I'm sure you research this, that in the wrong, even a millimeter extra skin, and then people can't close their eyes for their whole life.
Yeah.
And you sleep with your eyes open for the rest
dry
of your life.
Dry eyes and all sorts
of
things. Dry eyes and tear ducts and all sorts of problems can happen if it's done in the wrong hand.
100%. I mean, I've made it sound like it was an absolute easy piece.
Well, yours is a walk in the park because you got it done by a brilliant surgeon who's particularly skilled and your result was as a result of that.
Yeah.
But I think... And therein is the message, right?
Good. How much is it? It's $5,000, isn't it?
No, it's about kind of 4.5.
Okay.
And it depends where you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, about, I heard so somebody else five. Charging 7.5.
Yeah.
But 4.5 is...
average.
Yeah.
And that's for upper only. Now, lower is much more expensive because you have to remove fat.
And it's much more difficult.
Yeah, and it's trickier. But like, I know people who have both and it's about $10,000. Now, people are going to be at $4,500. That's mad. Major money people spend on Botox over the course of whatever, couple of
one
years.
Year.
1 year, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, on this is more transformative, you know, and it lasts forever. Whereas Botox is always a cycle and it goes up and you look great and then it wears off and you're back to square one. Whereas
I mean, there's all the amount of smooth skin and, you know, filled up lips and filled up, you know, dents around your marionette lines and stuff. They're all really helpful. You cannot hide excess skin.
No.
And that to me was just the thing. I just, my eyelids don't fit my face. I know maybe that's because I work on my face, but like I think retinol is as good as Botox for a lot of skin issues. Yeah. You know what I mean? For smoothness and glow. I think Botox without glow is just Botox, you know?
Mm.
But it is a kind of a jigsaw of sorts, you know what I mean? And the absolute, every single day, I'd be reaching for like a Diet Coke at 4 o'clock because my eyelids were actually making me feel tired.
And now do you feel less tired?
I haven't felt like that once since I've done it.
That's bad.
There's quite a lot of skin. And like Cormac was really like nice about it. He showed me the skin at the end.
Did you bring it home?
To bring it home.
Oh, I would have brought it home.
It? Throw it on the pan, fry an egg.
I don't know. I keep all these things. I'm a weirdo, obviously.
Maybe.
I was asking for the placenta when I was going home. Not like I was going to do anything with it. I just was like, maybe I'll
still have
the
belly buttons.
That you do.
No, I don't, but I have all the kids' teeth, rotten teeth.
I think I have them too, and the belly button. But I took a picture of it and I was like, oh,
is that a lot?
God, it just looks like two slugs.
Did it surprise you how much it came off?
Yeah.
I can't remember it. I can't remember you before it.
I can't.
You know what I mean? Like,
think you don't look any different. You just look brighter, fresher, like sparklier. Or something.
That's
probably because I can see your eyes more now. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it as well.
Yeah.
I think
and you've stunning eyes.
They actually made my eyes smaller looking, but that is the one thing I'm getting from everybody.
Yeah.
Whether they knew I did it or not, you just look fresher. Yeah. And I'm thinking that's a major thing.
That's very good work.
That's very good work, because when you look in the mirror, there, you don't like something about your eyes or your nose or whatever it is. That'll be always the thing you see. Do you know what I mean?
Are you looking at every second person now going, you need a blab?
No, but no one looks
at me. I feel like you're looking at me now.
Oh my God, you had your eyes on. I don't think you need a blab.
Oh, I totally do. 100%. I've been on my list. Listen, it's on the list. I just had to get rid of something else off the
list.
Off the list 2 weeks ago. Not on my list. It was one of my kids. I was like, pay for that first and then we'll move on to the BEF. Although I'm sure a roof or something will collapse now. Oh God, I better not say that.
So on to the next teeth suit.
Well, the teeth, I mean the teeth.
What is wrong with your teeth? Your teeth are lovely.
Well, they're only getting, I haven't got my braces in now because we're talking, but no, my teeth, and you know, as you're getting older,
they move.
Mine were already crossed a little. So they were starting to cross more, and I thought, you know something, I'm done now with this. These need to be done. So I went again, did a bit of research, found a really good, I can't remember what the word is.
Ortho.
Some other word she has as well. So I'm doing...
Want to share the details? The name?
It's Dr. Laura Feese. She's at Bayside Medical Centre, a massive dental practice. Mm. My God, there's about 13 dentists there or something. So I'm only about 3 or 4 months into that. So that was a real eye-opener, because I remember I had braces when I was 17. I stood on them to get rid of them. But
you
I had,
stood on them? On your retainers?
I just ripped them out and just stood on them to break them. But... because it hurt so much. Yeah. But I remember doing the molds. Do you remember doing that?
Oh, God.
It was gross. But like today, Invisalign, they spin a thing around your head and they make 3D braces for you.
Amazing.
So I get to every set every 2 weeks.
Yeah. So you're on the Invisalign journey.
For a year, but I'm on, I can see a real difference already. And I'm in about 2 days before I had my eyes done. So that was a weekend.
Are they sore?
Not at all.
No.
Really not at all. And there's buttons on my teeth.
Yeah.
So this is the weird thing. I didn't know about them. Most people just have the trays.
Yeah.
But my trays fit onto these buttons to move the teeth faster. So.
What do you mean?
I have buttons.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see them now. Yeah.
So they're kind of clear crystal. Cemented on or something. I don't know. That was a funny day because I didn't know they were happening. So at the end of it, at the end of the year.
Is buttons the actual term?
Yeah, that's what, is what they call it. I'm sure it has a name, but like they feel like buttons and
they grab. So the reason they do that is to actually change your bite.
Yeah.
So
the Invisalign attaches better, is
it? Well, yeah, and then it can actually move accordingly. Mm. But like, so yeah.
It looks like it's the thing that you would normally have on a normal brace. Without the wire, basically.
Yeah,
so it looks like a wireless
top and
invisible
bottom?
Brace.
Top and bottom.
And full year.
Full year, but at the end of it, I'm going to get the compass bonding.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Only because my teeth are, I was on antibiotics most of my childhood. My teeth have been struggled to keep white, and I can't even whiten them at the moment because of the buttons. So the compass bonding will be the end of it. And that was, and they're the two things, like touch wood, God.
And then are you done?
Then I'm done. Like I never saw these things as something, because like when people sort of say, oh no, I'm definitely doing that. Everyone's doing that. I'm definitely doing it. I thought about this at every decade.
Yeah.
All of the time.
Yeah.
And I just thought.
So it isn't like just a menopause whim or anything like that?
No, not at all. And I think COVID probably spurred me on a bit, because for the 2 years of COVID, I went through menopause, but I also went.
Only my, 2 years?
Yeah, my thyroid collapsed as well.
You told me this,
So the combination of the two.
Yeah.
Really messed me up.
You told me you didn't know which it was, menopause or thyroid.
The symptoms are so similar.
Yeah.
Like the thyroid, I started putting on weight. Like I was 60 kilos at the start of COVID.
Yeah.
And when we finally came out of it, I was 70.
Yeah.
And all
But like most people were, you probably just
saw No, but I only eat salad. And I was working the whole time, I was working out. I eat protein and salad. And that's not a vanity thing. That's all I like.
Yeah.
So that's how I eat, you know what I mean? And I just couldn't figure it out. But my mood was so low. I felt depressed. Obviously, I felt depressed about the weight. But in general, I felt depressed about everything. Mm. And not just COVID, because I was working. I was occupied. The hot flushes, obviously, like menopause, thankfully, they're gone. But the low mood thing really bothered me, because I'm not that type of person. Mm. I'm very much an upbeat type
of bubbly person.
You know, and I see goodness and joy and everything. Not everything, but like I have that mindset. You know what I mean? I don't go around bitching and moaning, basically. Yeah. And that really got to me. And it took me a while to convince my doctor that that was happening as well. I mean, an awful lot of blood tests. And for anyone who's gone into perimenopause or menopause that has those feelings, it doesn't feel right.
Mm.
I would go to your doctor and ask me get blood tests.
What did you get tested for, though?
Thyroid.
Thyroid, yeah.
And it was pretty bad. The break in the first COVID or something, I had that blood test and it was pretty bad. by the time I got no medication, but by the time the next one came around, it was flatlined.
Your thyroid?
Yeah. So now I'm on medication for life.
What one were you on?
Ultroxin.
That's what I'm on.
Are you on Ultroxin?
Yeah. I had a mad experience with Ultroxin. I had hypothyroidism.
Did you have hypo or on the under?
Mine was just completely not working. So
yeah, that's hypo.
Hypo.
Yeah.
Hypo.
Yeah. And then hyper is overactive.
And what's Hashimoto's?
Oh, when you're I can't remember. It's like there's T3, T4, and then there's your antibodies, your thyroid antibodies, and I think Hashimoto's is when the antibodies attack your thyroid. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
So anyway, thyroids can cause a lot of
problems.
And especially at menopausal age, because no one knows what's going on. And
yeah. As you're saying this, I'm like, oh, I should go and get my thyroid
recharged. No, it really makes me think that.
I've had mad.
Nikki keeps thinking she's in the menopause. I'm like, you're just hanging around me talking about it too much.
Yeah.
But you know something, I think there's loads. I never thought I was going into the menopause I never don't remember anything about perimenopause. Didn't have any symptoms.
Did you?
You know?
Yeah. A lot of people don't though, but some people, and the ones who do, like, experience it quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I had hypothyroid and pregnancy related. So you can get gestational diabetes, you can get gestational thyroid issues. I didn't know, news to me. And I was put on Ultroxin, like a mad dose of it though. And then, you know, after you had a baby in Ireland, 6 weeks, you do the checkup and then you're like dismissed from the kind of maternal system.
Yeah.
So I just kind of kept taking these thyroid meds and nobody managed it, or I didn't, one day I rang you, I didn't know where you were.
Like, I'm having a heart attack.
I was like, I'm having a heart attack. I need to go into
I was like, you're just tired. You've just had a baby. This is normal.
And I was like, I'm finally having a heart attack.
I was like, chill, I'll come and take the baby. You just needed a walk.
Yeah. So I went down to A&E, and A&E like had me rushed in really quickly into cardiac care, and they were like, you're like a proper cardiac risk.
So never ring Liz if you're having an emergency.
Literally, if something like something desperate was happening to you, Liz would be like, oh, you're a big grand, you're just have a glass of wine. And so then they were like, are you on any meds? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm on this dose of Ultroxin. They were like, what?
Why?
And I was like, oh, because I had like thyroid-related, pregnancy-related thyroid problems. And they were like, but how old's the baby? And I was like, oh, like 4 months or whatever. And they were like, what? No one's checked your thyroid. No one's like tapered you down off this. So they pulled me off all the thyroid meds. I gained 3 stone in 6 weeks.
Yeah, you blew up. It was mad.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I got blah. And then I got pregnant again. So then I got pregnant at my absolute biggest. And then my second pregnancy, I got...
Did you get the thyroidism again?
No, I had hyperemesis. So I was vomiting for the whole thing. So I ended up being like the heaviest I'd ever been was the day I got pregnant, my second child. And I gave birth 9 months later, the same weight, because I'd vomited so much throughout the pregnancy.
Oh my God.
So it's just like a mental journey.
But it's an incredible thing. Like, I mean, yeah. I know we've talked for a long time, but the thyroid thing, what really struck in my head, like it affects so many things in your body. Like, you don't go to the toilet.
So you were feeling depressed.
It's so rude. Like, but you literally, it affects your metabolism.
You can't go to the toilet.
You can't go to the toilet. To get it corrected, like I was put on the lowest dose, and I'm at dose 25. I'm now on 100. I've leveled at 100, and that seems to be
well. Oh my
God,
I was at 250 a day.
Mental.
I know. No wonder you had a heart attack.
But the difference, but all the small things in your body that thing of mood, I just kept thinking to myself, if this was menopause, people would just be flinging themselves out windows. You know what I mean? You wouldn't be able to.
Well, they do.
I know.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? But if you're confusing the two,
yeah,
because a lot of the symptoms are very similar, you know.
And when
what I mean?
When you got the thyroid under control,
yeah,
did you still have menopause symptoms or no?
Very little. No. I had the hot flushes, that was it. But the thing that really struck me, because I was working the whole way through COVID, I had a terrible brain fog, and I normally can remember anything back to like the year dot,
which again is a very menopause.
Very menopause.
Yeah.
The minute I started on thyroid medication, gone. So it wasn't menopause.
Did you ever have thyroid problems before?
I don't, but now my younger brother had his removed at 12.
Okay.
I have an aunt and another aunt with hyperthyroid.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I think it's just, I'm of the sense now that we're in an age where you can do your homework on a certain amount of things. But I think if you keep on top of what's happening inside your body in terms of getting blood tests regularly, and maybe if you need to get an MRI, if something's really niggling you, just go and get it
ask
done.
The question.
Ask the question.
If anybody wants to know the name of two really good thyroid doctors, by the way, one is Dr. Lucy Ann B in Tala. She's amazing. Her whole thing is about thyroid and women's health. She's particularly like attuned with thyroid and women's health. And if anyone's in the thyroid.
Tala Hospital, the regular hospital.
She's in Tala Hospital, yeah. But like, she has a private list and a public list, but she's brilliant. And
what's
she's
her name?
Lucy Ann Behan, Dr. Lucy Ann Behan. And then if you're on the fertility journey and your thyroid is your issue, there's a brilliant doctor called Dr. Momi.
And Shandeep Momi.
Dr. Shandeep Momi. God, I could listen to him all day.
He's so nice.
He's so nice, but also he's so knowledgeable about thyroid and how it affects pregnancy and the fertility journey. So like, there are brilliant doctors out there, great information, but like that, it can be literally life-changing to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially as you're saying this, I'm like, I need to go and get my thyroid checked again. Because I've been going on, banging on for the last 3 months gone, jeez, the brain fog is.
You said I'm in menopause. I'm like, you're not in menopause.
But honestly, like, I mean, my doctor.
So maybe I'm not the best.
Are you sure now? Because, like, I would call her and be like, you know, I need to talk about this. And she's like, sure, what are we talking about today? You think, oh, she could maybe hear it now, you know? Yeah. I'm like, no, but like, this is an issue. Yeah. And I know I'm going through menopause, whatever, but you cannot explain this weight gain to me. And I said, menopause is not working this way, not that fast.
Yes.
And I said, like, all of these other things are all very similar. I said, but we did talk about my thyroid.
That was
before,
the.
So can we get into the testing? And that's.
But you had to push the other thing, your GP.
I had to push a little bit.
The other thing about the thyroid testing, though, and the GPs, I know we have to. But the thing that I found was interesting, which I learned from Momi's talk, is the range for a healthy thyroid. Is I don't know what the actual numbers are, but let's call it.
It's like 7 to 11 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
seven to eleven is the healthy range, right? But like you could be at 7 or you could be at 11, and you'd be sent off home and sent in your merry little way. But you know that's not
that
an optimum thyroid function. Yeah. And there's loads more to it. Like it's a little bit more complicated than that. So the basic tests I think are grand as a starting point.
Can't you do at home thyroid testing?
But again, I mean, that's a bit like doing at-home FHS testing. Yes, okay, you can. But like, it's
always better to get a proper blood work.
Well, it doesn't tell you the full picture. And also, like, I mean, who are you and I to...
But the thing is, when they do that, they tend to do... They have, like, a scope of, like, 7 things they're testing for. So, and most, like, doctors' clinics will have a nurse who does bloods on a certain day.
Yeah.
So it's not that expensive, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you can get tested for cholesterol. You can get tested for... Which is very important for women in menopause because of... You know,
estrogen.
Strokes and heart attacks and all the rest.
So everyone should be on HRT.
No, but you can test for a couple. They test for about 5 or 6 things.
Yeah.
So they'll do like vitamin D. Or, is it vitamin D?
Yeah.
Vitamin D.
Other things like iron.
Vitamin
and
B. Yeah, so they'll check those levels too. So like for me, that seems to be the much more sensible approach to medicine that is preventative.
Yeah.
They call that kind of functional medicine. And I think like the modern medicine is like, so the medicine that we have grown up with is, you come along with a problem and they treat a problem, or they treat the symptoms of the problem.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I always think the most funny thing is irritable bowel syndrome. Like, that's not a diagnosis. Like, something's irritating your bowel. What's irritating your bowel? But functional medicine, which I think is where this is all going, and actually even what we do, like, it will turn into more restorative aesthetic medicine. And it's all about illness prevention, about, you know, health and wellness. It's about actually becoming healthy and becoming well, as opposed to treating just things when you've gotten to the bad stages, you know.
Absolutely.
They're now treating aging as a disease. They're reframing aging as a disease. It's not just something that's naturally supposed to happen. They're now saying, like obesity, aging is a disease. And they're trying to get it reclassified as a disease.
I'd stay on that page.
Yeah.
I'd be around to Future Beauty to find out what I can do to stay to stay away from aging.
How are we treating aging as a disease? So on that note, we are being told we need to wrap up. So I would actually stay here having this lovely chat for so long.
It's why did she not bring wine?
I know. Oh my God, stop it. Could you imagine? And this is our last. This is our last podcast of this season as well. So you're our last guest. So
I'm honoured.
Thank you so much for telling us your journey and sharing so honestly and frankly with us. And I mean, you're a wealth of knowledge for everything beauty. And
obviously, people can follow you on Instagram. It's at Laura Birmingham.
It's Birmingham Laura.
Laura.
Yeah, Laura Birmingham. But like, if anyone's to ask me about the eyes, just DM me.
DM you. And obviously, your column is in the Daily Mail every Sunday. And you're on Evoke nearly every day, are you?
Oh, I'm on Evoke 3 times a day.
3 times a day.
And one Fab Day.
And one Fab Day.
Yeah.
Wedding magazine as well. And you're always knocking around telly and whatnot. Knocking around the telly. She's always knocking around this one.
You two stalwarts of the beauty industry.
Okay, and now we have our aesthetic advice question and answers. This is our last one for the season, so they better be good ones, Ed.
Hey guys, love the podcast. So I'm just wondering if you can breastfeed after you have a boob job?
Yes, is the answer. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. You can. I mean, there is a slight chance of milk ducts being blocked. But generally, most of the surgeons will tell you it's quite minimal. And I mean, if there's any contraindication to it originally that they can find out, I'm sure they'll tell you at the assessment. But
short story is
yes. Okay, Ed, ready for the next one?
Hey, ladies, how are you? Love the pod. I heard that you are not supposed to drink wine for the day before and the day after you have Botox. Is that nonsense or is that actually valid?
Yeah, this is a tricky one. I always seem to end up going on the piss after I have Botox. I don't know why. Technically, you're not supposed to have it. It is alcohol is a vasodilator, which means it thins your blood effectively. And the thinner your blood, the more chance you have of bruising. So if you're a bruiser, you tend to bruise quite badly from Botox. Like the needles are teeny tiny. It's hit and miss. And sometimes you could be getting the same Botox, the same place. You could have your period. Strange things can happen. Something to do with alcohol. And you're going to get a bruise anyway. So it's entirely up to you. It does. It is recommended that you avoid it. I don't think I've ever avoided it personally. So again, I'm not necessarily a good person to ask that question. But it's never stopped my Botox from working. So if it's about Botox working, I think it's okay. If it's about bruising, it's up to you. You decide.
And we won't see if we're here for you next week because that's it.
That's it for now. We will not be back until after Future Beauty Show live in March 1st and 2nd. So please come to our event and support us and bring your men to the Future Men's Health event and bring anyone who's interested in fertility to the Future Fertility Show all on the same weekend, all out of the RDS. Yeah. That is why we're going into hibernation from now until March, basically, because we have a lot of work to do.
And this final episode of this season is with a huge special thanks to our sponsors who've been really supportive of us for this whole series. So big special thanks out to Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
Thank you, Fifth Avenue. Yay. See you again.
With Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud.
Sounds better with us.